Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io. And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle. Matt DeCourcy here to have another conversation I'm hoping helps your business grow. So, you know, everyone's talking about NFTs. They're all over the place. I think very few people understand the mechanics of what they are and how they work, and especially when it comes to how do you earn with NFTs. And we're going to learn a whole lot about that today. Now, before we get too far into that, today's episode of Startup Hustle is sponsored by Canva, where you go to collaborate and create amazing graphic designs for free. Whether it's a presentation to share an idea, a video to launch your business, or a social post to start a conversation, with Canva, you can design anything. Discover the magic of visual communication and how Canva helps you create a lasting impact today. Just go to canva.com to learn more. I'm a huge fan of Canva. Canva took me and turned me into a graphic designer pretty much. And I would like to thank Canva for that because it makes my life a lot easier. Now, speaking of making my life a lot easier, I've got an expert here today to explain to me how you can earn with NFTs. So with me today, I've got Dan Novais, and Dan is the CEO of Mode Mobile and the creator of the Earn FT Network. I guess we should just go ahead and say, you know, straight out of Chicago, Illinois, Dan, welcome to Startup Hustle.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. Thanks for having me. I'm actually in now South Florida, but, you know, as the rest of the crypto boom of the U.S. Has moved to. But thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, well, so, you know, I think let's just dive right in. So, you know, as the creator, you're talking about earning through NFTs and being the creator of Earn FT. And, you know, you can go to modemobile.com, and that's Dan's. There's a link for that in the show notes. You can also go to Earn FT. That's kind of spelled like ear with an NFT.com, just to make it easy. There's a link for that in the show notes too. But, you know, Dan, why don't we just get started with a little bit of your backstory and what brought us to all this today?
Yeah. Gotten into starting from way back a while ago. Always been an entrepreneur. Originally was from Brazil and grew up between US and Brazil my whole life. Started an e-com business when I was in high school and, fell in love with entrepreneurship and was able to scale that to $2 million a year in revenue by the time I was a senior in high school. That then moved me into kind of like digital web creation, owned a really large music website before the Spotify days. And then that just kind of like propelled into this career of kind of, building apps and fell in love with the concept of like super apps and emerging technologies. Mobile today is really focused around building this, what we call an earning operating system. And really the idea here is to reward users for their time and attention and data. And we do that by, taking everything they do from the moment they wake up until they go to sleep, even while they're sleeping, and create rewards for it. That ultimately led to this ideation around what was happening with Web3. And because, you know, the user base that we focus on, at least on that side of the business, is one that is more budget conscious. And so you're trying to come up with creative ways to create value for people and expose them to new technologies, expose them to value. And Web3 fit really nicely into that narrative. And it's just one of many things that we do. But that's ultimately how we got to the EarnFT network and the creation behind that. Today, you know, we have several millions of monthly active users using the product. The company has over 100 team members, and we've raised over $40 million in capital.
Well, congratulations about that. That's no small task. Now, did I hear you correctly when I heard you say that you had created a SaaS or some type of platform that was generating a couple million dollars a year in revenue before you graduated from high school?
Yes. Yeah. This is, yeah. So I'm in my early 30s now. So this was about, half my life ago. So it was like 16 years ago. It wasn't a SaaS though. It was more e-com. I think, you know, where I saw a big opportunity was, just growing up in different environments. I think having this worldview has always been a big impact in all the businesses I've ever launched. The crux of it was that, you know, there's a big price arbitrage and price difference of when things come out in these different countries. And so that's really where we focused in, was like reselling these services, these consumer goods in Brazil and UK, Australia. And then, you know, that just kind of got me into e-com, right? And then that moved into the digital side of the business, because that is a totally different realm. And then I fell in love with the concept of digital businesses because I was like, wow, you don't have to have inventory. You don't lose stuff. Like, you know, I had like a disaster that happened one time where one of our warehouses got robbed and I lost like half of our inventory. It was not insured. And that was like this thing where I was like, I need to find a different business line, you know? And then that was where I found out of that. But e-com is great. You know, that wouldn't happen now because you have like the risk mitigation. But when you're young, you know, you're living fast, living risky, you know, which is, you know, you don't think about those things.
So when we talk about Mode Mobile, I mean, how are people using that to make money?
Yeah, so Mode Mobile, our whole concept is around creating like supplemental income for budget conscious consumers. And so we really focus, you know, the effort on, you know, these households, and, you know, it'll differ by country. But say it's like a 20 to $60,000 a year type household. So it's people that like, 30 to 50 extra bucks a month on average will make a big difference. So our vision is actually to, it's not necessarily to, change what they're doing on an everyday to create income. It's just to create a little bit more supplemental. And the ultimate goal is actually is to be able to eventually fully subsidize the cost of their smartphone and data plan. So much so that we actually launched our own smartphone that actually pays you as you use it. And this is like billions of consumers. It's a very widespread problem. You'd be shocked at seeing the ages of the demographics of the people that still use our service. You know, it's very evenly distributed from like 18 to 55 years old, which I think gives credence to the total addressable market size and that underlying problem, especially as we head into like the recession or kind of like the weird economic environment that we find ourselves in today.
So you can go to modephone.com to learn more about that. So this is like, might be like a total rookie or newbie kind of question. Where does the money come from? Like, who's paying the users to use Mode Phone or EarnFT?
Yeah, so the way I like to think about it is, high level to really set up the framework here. So Mode Mobile is a traditional kind of like Web 2 company, but I would say it's like Web 3 enabled. And so think about that like a Web 2 platform. So, you know, as a traditional corporate structure, we control that underlying, company. And fundamentally, what we're doing is we're working with advertisers, financial services, game developers, market research companies, and there is like an earning rate associated to every action that you do within the software. And it can be downloaded from Google Play. You could use our phone and earn faster, however you want to do it. But fundamentally, the more you do, the more you earn. And this really comes down to this principle of kind of like, fixing the problem with the attention economy and sharing back that revenue. Today, when you use Google, when you use Facebook, when you use these services, you're not getting rewarded, right? That data is there, and that's the big problem. What got us into this whole Web3 movement and ultimately the creation of EarnFT Network, which is it's its own entity, right? It's meant to be a decentralized autonomous organization. That's what we're moving towards. And so there's kind of like two different entities. So you have this Web2 company, which is Mode Mobile, and it is partnered with Web the Web3 company, which is EarnFT Network, but that's not made just for Mode Mobile, right? So the way that people are essentially earning is through this like Web3 enabled reward ecosystem. So kind of what you're seeing in play to earn. And that's what's happening in Mode Mobile. We make it super easy for people. They don't need crypto wallets. They can earn points. If they want to play with crypto and redeem their points for crypto or NFTs or whatever, they can. But we don't make it to be so. And I think that that's a really big opportunity. And that vision behind our NFT network is really to interconnect the millions of people that use these Web2 platforms. So cashback platforms, games, whatever it might be. And then expose them to Web3 rewards, right? Because I think the Web3, it's like if we could take a timeline back 25 years ago, right, to like the late 90s, and it's not necessarily apples to apples, but if you could expose that in some way, like these people to a share of Apple stock or a share of Amazon, that could materially change that life for that person, right? That transition from Web1 to Web2, and Web2, now we're in this transition to Web3. We're not fully there, but that's kind of the underlying thought of being able to expose digital assets to the everyday person and billions of people. And that's kind of like the mission behind Mode Mobile and how EarnFT fits and intertwines in that mission.
So according to your site on EarnFT, there's 16 different ways that you can earn and go real fast. It's every music, games, news, surfing, charging, sharing, weather, tasks, cash, crypto, finance, data, lock screen mode, watching, saving, and fitness. Let's just say that, all right, well, you mentioned music. I worked in the music industry for 10 years. So let's just use music as an example, because I think that makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
Let's take this back from like, I'm a musician and I want to participate in EarnFT. So how does that work from the beginning all the way through the part where people are earning through it?
Yeah. So that's on the Mode Fund website. So on the platform, what we're essentially doing there is let's think about it more from the end user perspective. So think about like a platform like Pandora, right? Or TuneIn or any of these platforms, right, that stream music. What we do is we aggregate hundreds of thousands of these stations that our consumers can listen to. And they're listening to music just as if they would on a Pandora or a TuneIn or anything like that. As they're listening, they're getting rewarded a certain amount of points per minute. And that balance, the accelerator of what they're actually earning per minute, goes up and down depending on them doing value-add actions in the product. So the more value-add actions you do and the more you want to do, so it's up to you. We don't force you to do it, the faster you earn. The more passive you want to be, and if you just want to listen to music and be passive about it, the less you earn, but you still get the music for free, right? And what we're essentially doing is giving you the choice. And that's the most important thing, is give people the choice. And so as they're earning those points, they could then take those points and then redeem that for things like NFTs or crypto or PayPal or both, right? The idea is to give the consumer the end choice. Now, on the creator side, those streams, like they're getting paid for those streams in more of a traditional mechanic. So it's less about like creating decentralized music in that sense, at least on the Mode Mobile side, because they're still getting rewarded and still getting paid on the way that they would get through royalty rates, et cetera. But it's kind of us focusing on the things that people do each day. And each one of those modes represents something that we do. And we just expose them to other opportunities to, create, a little bit of extra income and expose them to other services they may be interested in. So that could be anything from like working with financial services, banks, crypto funds, games, etc. And so we're exposing them. And those are the value-add actions that I mean that impact your earning rate, if that makes sense.
So, just to clarify with the value-add, that could be anything like you occasionally, you're talking Web2 kind of stuff, and you get an ad that pops up and it says, take a survey. And maybe you do, maybe you don't.
Maybe you do, maybe whatever. Yeah. It's more of like we do it based on like that rating, and then you have like it stands there for a certain amount of hours. If they do the survey, or they give us the insight, they'll get more points for that, right? And then that will also impact their earning rate. So they're earning at the same time. And again, it's like people are going to listen to music anyways. They're going to play games anyways. They're going to read the news anyways. Like, so our whole focus, like literally we created a software that when you plug in your phone to charge, it'll reward you to charge, right? And you can turn it off, right? And some people don't want it on, whatever, but it'll reward you for that. But it's like, we know that people are going to do that, right? And the thing is like, allow people to have that. And I think today, Mode Mobile is the closest company in the world to get to a point that we can create enough, you know, rewards and revenue for this specific demographic to create the first free phone and free device for people. And our goal isn't to be a phone manufacturer. We actually license this software to other phone manufacturers and really this concept of earn phones. But if you think about that, that's the future. Whoever creates that, that's a $1 trillion opportunity because you're breaking down barriers, communication, knowledge. And I think that that's kind of like part of this whole Web3 narrative is about, you know, opening up the borders of to anyone, anywhere around the world and breaking down those digital barriers.
What else is this disrupting?
Well, I mean, in what sense can you, like in the question?
Well, so I look at like, okay, the way that music is consumed, for an example, like if you're listening to Spotify, you're either paying to subscribe.
Yep.
Right. And then you're not subjected to ads.
Yep.
Or you're not. And then you're subjected to ads. So Spotify never pays me.
Yeah.
Unless I'm an advertiser.
Sure.
So something's being disrupted here if we're going to now pay people to consume. Now,
yeah.
Part of which, so when, you know, one of the things that's been a hot topic with Web 2 type stuff, and you'll hear people say this, like, so, you know, when you use Facebook for free, which means you're the product.
You're the product, exactly. Right?
'Cause you're not paying them. So are the people that are earning through this, do they become the product still?
Yeah, well, I think
you're not, because technically by that definition, you're no longer the product if you're being paid to use it.
Well, I think, yeah, there's two schools of thought, and at least, you know, in my opinion. One is, you know, you can take the Apple route, which is like, you know, the very like privacy focused, but one can argue that that was also to boost the amount of revenue that they earn on like the search ads, because it was a pretty pitiful business. And now it's a booming business for them, and they crushed Facebook in several ways. And iOS users tend to be higher income users, right? Because the iOS phone, the iPhone is expensive. Yep. But that's one route. The other route is, you know, there is this subset of billions of people around the world that can't afford to spend like $10 per subscription for 6 services. And that's like, you know, $2,000 a year. And that is the majority, right? It may not be the people listening to this podcast. It may not be the people that, you know, work at our company, but that is the majority of people. And the idea is, if you give the user the choice, you don't force anything down their throats. You just give them the choice and allow them to earn or not earn as much as they want. That is the most equitable model. And I think that that's kind of like where I talk about this Web3 enabled platform is this general concept. And I think that that's what's disrupting. And all we're doing is essentially sharing a portion of the revenue that, you know, as a platform we're earning, you know, back with the consumer. But we're not incentivizing them to like click on ads and stuff like that. Like, we've created a model that essentially is aligns incentives amongst the advertisers of all calibers, the research providers, et cetera, the users and the platform. And that is, and I think that that's the kind of beauty of kind of this like more Web3 like philosophy. We're just doing it in more like Web2 environments because that's where we are with the tech today. You know, like Web3 is still pretty clunky for most people. And that's why we kind of consider, you know, the mobile part of our business as a Web3 enabled company, but it's not full Web3, whereas NFT is a pretty full Web3 type of solution. And they just have like a, you know, a relationship with one another, like partnership.
So you've got 16 total modes in here for earning. Like, what's, is one of these just clearly the champion right now?
Well, we started out, the whole concept of this, this was actually kind of somewhat brought on by accident. Like, you know, the way we stumbled upon this concept, as I mentioned earlier, was around this, we really like the super app concept, right? That's always been super, you know, interesting to me, like the WeChats of the world, Kakao, Line, these apps, these super apps of Asia. And then, you know, really thought that that was going to be the model for here. And it took a bit longer. Now we're moving towards that again. But initially what we built was a music super app, and we aggregated like 7 different music services. But we weren't rewarding people. What we found though is that You know, and I think this is a great entrepreneurial lesson, right? Since a lot of people that listen to your podcast are entrepreneurs, we weren't getting great traction. And you know, but we were getting some users in there, and then the users that were using it, we were like, asked like, hey, like, why are you using this product? And they're like, well, I don't pay for streaming services, and this has the most amount of APIs and music services in one place. And so instead of doubling down on like more music services, we asked, well, why don't you pay for them? Because I mean, I pay for streaming, like my co-founder pays for streaming, like we're not necessarily the audience, but we found that, hey, this is a certain type of person. Like this is a person that lives in a certain type of income bracket, has certain types of opportunity, and is with no way, whether they're either fully against it or they can't afford it, they are not going to pay for streaming. And then we're like, well, what if we focus on that problem instead? And then we just put up a lander, right, at the time. It was like, get rewarded to listen to music. And suddenly we had like 300,000, you know, people sign up for that, you know, and then that was really interesting. We didn't even have it built yet. And then we're like, okay, we're going to focus on that. And then that's actually what led our revolution into the crypto side of things and more thinking about Web3 and rewarding people, you know, for that data, time, and attention. And then that changed our lives, you know, kind of where we focus on. That was like in 2016, 2017. And that's how we got here. So I'd say music is like kind of the initial. We've now moved into, you know, games and music together, but it's hard to say. Like financial services is a really big component of our revenue. Isn't necessarily why people come into the product in the first place. But, you know, we see our product more as a financial service product than anything else, because that's a relationship that we're developing. And now we're developing the solutions to be able to have that, like a wallet inside the product, and then be able to buy like crypto, fractional stocks, et cetera, and create that portfolio for that cohort of user, just through their attention, time, and data, and allowing them to, you know, invest those earnings and grow their wealth, you know?
So many more questions, so many more. Now, before I get into those, as a reminder, today's episode of Startup Hustle is brought to us by Canva. With Canva, you can design your ideas with ease. You can get inspired. They have over 500,000 free templates and a rich content library that helps you and your team achieve your goals. Sign up and start designing for free at canva.com. Now, you know, just as a quick statement here, you know, Canva changed the way I did business, and it did it for free. And I ended up becoming a subscriber afterward, but I use it for so many different things, everything from like social media posts. I often make, very quick and crude drawings and wireframes and stuff like that for our developers and a whole lot of other people. And it just really made life easier for me when I was able to visualize so many things that are stuck in my head. I think that as an entrepreneur, you often know what you need to describe, show, demonstrate. And then if you're not a graphic designer, you are usually drawing it on the back of a bar napkin. So I got away from that. And that was probably a good thing for me, Dan. So now back to our conversation. And once again, I'm here today with Dan Novais, and he's the CEO of Mode Mobile and the creator of the Earn FT Network. This is, I mentioned before we hit record that I employ a couple hundred developers, and they're all in the Philippines. And as I was doing research for this episode and this whole series on NFTs, I realized that the Philippines is one of the top places for play to earn games. Yeah. And it really like that's where this starts making sense, because you also mentioned a couple other things too. So like over, like here in the US, it's like so many people use Apple. Yeah. It's almost all Android in the Philippines because the iPhone's super expensive. And also you mentioned like, so there's just these big differences in like in economics and, you know, how much things cost. So a $20 a month, to give you some perspective as a listener, a $20 a month subscription here in the U.S., I say here, we're in the U.S., but in the Philippines, that would be like six times more. That would be the equivalent, like, would you pay $120 a month to subscribe to Spotify? Probably not.
Yeah.
And, you know, now you start stacking these things up. And now you get, you know, you got six of them or eight of them or however many, and it makes a lot of sense. I totally get the music thing, because if you're just listening to music like I do all day, I mean, the music's still the same song.
Yeah.
I don't think if you're going to get paid to still listen to the same stuff, why not? Now, you know, one of the things, Dan, that I've got notes here is you guys currently have billions of hours are spent on, Web 2 platforms, the time, data, and attention invested by those users provide the foundation for what you guys are doing at EarnFT. Mm-hmm. But, I'm curious about how you go about capturing that. Like, how do you bring this? Like, I get the idea, I get the concept, I think it's cool. But you mentioned, like, all of a sudden now we've got 300,000 people that are listening that weren't before. How do you get this out for people to even know it exists?
Yeah. So, a lot to unpack there. So the first kind of top thing that you mentioned here is Philippines is one of the most interesting places we've seen in not only Web3, but also just what I'll say is like broader reward and earning apps. It's one of our largest user bases. And it's a certain type of consumption habits. And part of the vision of what EarnFT was is that, we designed it so that it's targeted to kind of like that more budget conscious consumer, and there's opportunities for them. And then it's also targeted to higher income consumers. So because you asked this question around distribution, that's where this kind of comes in. So things like the Axie Infinity effect is what I like to call. And this idea of like using these platforms is really a product of using, reward platforms, play to earn gaming, et cetera. And so what EarnFT is essentially is kind of an evolution of the play to earn model, but expanding it outside of just gaming, expanding it into any type of system where there is a point and reward type of mechanic, whether it's in gaming, whether it's in reward apps, whether it's in, cashback portals, whatever that might be. And the thought process here is we don't actually make the consumer choose just the Web3 reward. They can. But the idea here is like, so say that in any platform you go in, you earn like say 5,000 points, right? And the 5,000 points is usually related to the in-app currency of that platform. So the Web2 platform. And so what we're pitching to essentially platforms is, well, give them for that 5,000 points, say you get a dollar on PayPal, whatever it might be, give them a free Web3 reward as well. So it's actually just an additional reward, right? And in that Web3 reward, which is kind of an asset that we for EarnFT called an ENFT, which is an EarnFT backed NFT. It's backed by a variable amount of coins. So you don't know if there's half a coin inside of this ENFT or 100,000. So there's kind of this gamified earning mechanic. And so now that consumer is earning a stable reward, maybe that Web2 reward, maybe that's that dollar on PayPal, but they're also getting this variable reward that they don't know whether it's half a coin or 100,000 coins, and they're getting that free Web3 reward. Because the fundamental goal is, can you reward them better than what they were getting rewarded before? And then can you do it in a way that's easy for them to get exposed to it? And that's how you get massive distribution. And there are millions, tens of millions of people every hour that uses these various platforms, these earning platforms, our platform included, right? And we're the launch pad for this network, but this is designed for any type of Web2 kind of earning ecosystem. Is what we call it. And that's how you get that mass distribution out. So those earners are the exact people that are going to proliferate the EarnFT assets worldwide. And that's essentially how we design the model.
So on your site, the site talks about an upcoming sale for Blue 3. Is that it? Blue 3 chip?
It's a blue chip. It's blue just chip. A 3 okay. Is like the play on the Web3. But yeah, Blue chip mobile NFT collection. Yeah.
So how are people going to earn from that? How is that going to work?
Yeah. So the idea with that is, it's like basically it was an iteration for NFT around, if you think about what we do on the Web2 side of things, like mobile, we created a smartphone and smartphone software that earn you rewards and your everyday life. And that's a specific target market that is focused in on that. The idea for this collection was, and basically the launch of the network, was like, what would a smartphone that earns look like in the metaverse? And so each of these, what we call like plans, like these NFT plans, are essentially examples of blue chip NFTs that already exist. So like the Bored Ape, the Mutant Ape, the Doodle, the Cybercon. So these are all kind of what they call blue chips, just how blue chip stocks, whatever it is. And that was the play on words of the whole blue chip mobile NFT. And then we're like, okay, now we have this metaverse smartphone. And then every time that there is a drop for a platform, so what that means essentially is, as I mentioned earlier, like the way that the platforms work is EarnFT partners with platforms like Mode Mobile or like a Rakuten or whatever it might be. The governance essentially issues a certain amount of coins to hand out to the users. So a percentage of those coins that are issued, like 22%, are reserved for blue chip mobile NFT holders. And so this is designed to happen on a monthly basis per platform. So there could be 10 of these drops. So 10 million coins every month go out to the communities, and 22% of them are reserved for these holders of these various tiers. And so you're essentially earning these ENFTs as a holder. In addition to that, you get like the first ever NFT-linked smartphone. You get a metaverse phone, and you also get membership to the underlying community of other like blue chip traders and that are in that target market, because there's only a limited amount of them. But this is the first ever metaverse and NFT phone, right? And forever and always, our NFT network is launching first one of them.
And who would have thought that a Bored Ape or a CryptoPunk or a Mutant would be the leader in something new in technology? It's just, it's a fascinating economy. And don't try to explain it to your parents, folks. It's a long, beefy conversation
my parents were like, I literally like, they saw like my profile picture was this ape. And then honestly, when I was explaining to them, I was like, man, I sound stupid. Like I was like, I can't believe I'm having this conversation. You know, and I was like, then I was trying to explain it. And I feel like actually towards the end, they were starting to get it. But they were, I think it was just like one thing, like, you know, we love you anyways, you know, type deal. And so that was
weird. It's that invariably will usually result in the comment of, so you're buying and selling JPEGs.
Yeah, I mean, that's potentially, I mean, we don't personally trade them. Like, we're like kind of holders long term, because I mean, that's the whole design of like the ecosystem. But, you know, I know a lot of people that do, you know, and that's what they're, you know, essentially enjoy doing, spending hours on Discords and Reddits and things like that.
Yeah, I'm not that progressive. I'm maybe more of a follower in that regard. I do find it to be completely interesting, though. I understand, you know, I mentioned working in the music industry. I was also a ticket broker for several years. So you don't have to explain the concept of scarcity and supply and demand on those days. But yeah, it's really interesting how this works. You know, I think one of the things that somewhat is confusing for people is when you hear crypto, the word currency being in it. So I think that people that don't understand what it is and like how this works, this is transactional value and different things that exist. But, you know, they say, well, is this currency? Like, you're not going to take ApeCoin, well, at least not anytime soon, and go to 7-Eleven and buy a Slurpee with it. It's not necessarily how that works, but you know, we'll figure it out eventually, or we'll just all get old to the point where maybe ApeCoin will be how we get paid. I'm thinking about telling my employees that they're going to get bonused soon and then just paying them with NFTs that we create.
Yeah,
you know, maybe they'll be worth something, maybe they won't.
Yeah, well, we let a lot of our team members they can get paid in Tether or Bitcoin. I mean, we go through a platform on this, but yeah, we did feel that it would make sense to enable the crypto payments for the team.
So how big of, you know, we're sitting here kind of chuckling and joking about explaining this to our parents and in general. I mean, sometimes one of the biggest problems with anything that's new or emerging, and I go back to like a couple comments ago about, you know, having been a ticket broker for a while. Like, I was there when e-tickets came out and people just didn't get it. You know, they're like, where's my ticket stub?
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, no, you can, same thing with like mobile ticketing and stuff like that. Now, eventually people just figured it out. And some of it was because the primary issuer of said tickets finally said, you know what, we're not even sending ticket stubs anymore. Figure this out, people.
Yeah.
Now, how big of a challenge is that with what you do is just getting people to, quote, get it?
Well, I think depends who we're talking about. I think that's a constant challenge that everyone in Web3 is underlyingly facing, right? We're still talking of a relatively early cohort. Like, even some of the people I interview from like amazing Silicon Valley companies, like super smart, bright people, interested in cool ideas, they know Web3 is here, or is hot, but they don't really exactly know, and it's not like, you know, risk mitigated yet. You're seeing all these funds that are coming out, so I think that we're moving towards that direction. But that's kind of like goes back to the underlying principle and actually the foundation of how we have approached the model, which we're like, okay, Web3, I have no doubt in my mind, in the next decade will proliferate, like, you know, and it'll like the tools, the servicing, all that stuff will be here. But right now we're just not fully there. I would say like we're in this transitionary period. So what we're focused on is, can you expose people in a way that's easy, doesn't necessarily require a wallet, is part of like, you know, their underlying daily like reward or habit. And how do you just bring the barrier down to just expose it in the very lowest common denominator way? And we do that, we believe to do that in Web2 platforms. And that's why we say we're Web3 enabled, right? And so I think that that's the best way to kind of explain that and expose it, where there's a very low risk of you getting in, because literally it's just getting rewarded to you as part of something else. And I think that that's how we intend to expose this to tens of millions, hundreds of millions of consumers, you know, through not only our platform, but the broader platform that will eventually adopt our NFT network.
You're talking about how do you explain some of this stuff, and you know, a lot of things in life, and especially as an entrepreneur or anything that you're selling, peddling, pushing, has to do with just getting in front of the right people. You know, in the 2022 Super Bowl, the ad that was the most talked about was the bouncing QR code that Coinbase put out. Now, whether you use Coinbase or not, a lot of people thought that that was brilliant marketing, because it basically, to me, and I agree, because it said, if you don't know what this is, we don't care. Like, if you don't even know what a QR code is at this point,
yeah,
you're not going to be in our platform buying crypto. You're not going to be doing any of it. You're, because you don't get it. And right. I thought that that was the most brilliant part about that play, was saying, hey, look, okay, we're fine if you don't know what this QR code is, what it does, or how to activate it. You're not our target user. You're not our target customer, and you aren't likely to be for quite some time.
Yeah. Well, I think it makes total sense. I think also, you know, Coinbase is pretty genius around it, because, you know, COVID propelled the use of the QR code again. Like, my parents would never have known to pull out a camera and scan a QR code a year and a half ago, or maybe, or sorry, not a year and a half, but maybe 2.5 years ago. But then COVID came out, and then QR code became like the norm, because people don't want menus. And then now, but that in itself is also this evolution of just like the speed of which things are moving. Like, COVID accelerated even further that digital transition. You now have people that were like in their 60s and 70s that didn't even know online grocery delivery exists. And suddenly in their mind, like, wow, I don't need to go to the grocery store, and now I order groceries all the time. But that in itself allows them to even wrap their head around, what is Bitcoin? What is crypto? And now you have like people of my dad's age that, you know, I'll randomly go visit my parents, and then there'll be a dinner, and then people are like, can you help me buy Bitcoin? Like, and I'm seeing that from like people that I grew up with that like super huge skeptics saying that. And I mean, the fact is, I mean, it is moving towards that. And now that Biden and this executive order came out around the digital dollar and all this stuff, you're just seeing more buy-in of that, right? And I think that that's, it's inevitable. Web3 movement's inevitable. And so it'll happen again in the next decade. We're not fully there, but we're heading there. And we've been in the space for like 5-6 years. And I mean, it's much larger now than it has ever been. You know, even though, you know, we're down whatever 50%, 40% of what it was like a couple months ago. But like, these are short term bursts, right? Long term, this is it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, if you're looking for stability, that crypto might not be there for you yet. By the way, the most genius part of that ad was that the square actually squared itself up in the upper right hand corner. Activating the memory of all of us that obsessed over The Office for several years. And that was the main thing. That was the most genius part about that. And I don't think most people even caught that.
I didn't even know that. No. Yeah. That was
new. So in The Office, they were like, there was an episode where they were sitting there, you know, there was, you had these old screensavers, and they never, the box never made it squarely into the corner.
Yeah.
And that's how the Coinbase ad ended, which was pretty genius, because that gave so many of us Office users, our watchers, a sense of satisfaction that hopefully all you listeners, and I can't even tell you what episode of The Office that is, so watch all of them. And then email my business partner, Matt Watson, not me, that you finally get it. So, well, you know, once again, a big thank you to today's episode sponsor. That was Canva. You can find more info about Canva in the show notes, canva.com. And with Canva, you can work together from wherever, and you can get on the same page as your team with seamless real-time collaboration. So what are you going to design today? You know, explore and start designing for free at canva.com. Maybe you have a concept for your own NFTs, and that's a good place to get some of that started. And you know, I'm so fascinated. I love anything that helps creators get paid. And I think the flip side of that is letting the people that support the creators get paid. So I like what you're doing, Dan. I really do. I think it's really cool. Now, you know, I end my episodes of Startup Hustle with what we call the Founders Freestyle. And it's a chance for you and I to both kind of talk about what we talked about and what made sense and what didn't. And, you know, I say my episodes of Startup Hustle, I'm not the only host of the show. Make sure you tune in because we now have weekly episodes from Matt Watson. You've got Andrew Morgans talking about e-commerce and Amazon brand acceleration, and Lauren Conaway, the founder of Innovate Her, who talks about a lot of stuff that, quite honestly, I'm not brave enough to talk about. So, you know, all doing some very specific things. And I'm very interested in the way this works because imagine what it would be like if you could get paid to listen to Startup Hustle. We'd probably have more people coming through the whole lifetime of the show. There's a couple people that have reached out and they're trying to catch up. You know, we're coming up on 850 episodes by the time this one had come out. And some of these people have gotten mad at us because we were 3 days a week, then we were 4 days, and then we were five. And they're like, what the hell? I'm never going to catch up. So back to the freestyle, what did we leave out? What stood out, or what would you like to say as we come to a close here?
Just on that thought, I being able to get paid to listen to Startup Hustle is on our product roadmap. We do have the ability to embed podcasts into the service. We just haven't done it yet. Focus more on the music side, but it is something that's in the roadmap. I know for sure. So I think that will come true one day. You know, and then I'll let you know when that happens, and we can feature it to our millions of users.
Overall, like when we talk about NFT and what you guys are doing at Mode Mobile, I mean, out of our conversation today, I mean, what's the key ingredient? What's something that you really want everyone to make sure they heard?
Yeah, I think, you know, more from a broader sense. I mean, I know that there's, you know, we talked about some of the skepticism of kind of like where we are in the space, and you know, this is still a very new industry, right? And we're kind of at the tip of this. But I think that we're in the midst of like the biggest wealth transfer in history, and will continue to be over the course of the next few years. And I think the one difference this time is that it's not just for the insiders. And I think, you know, for what at least we focus on is like, you know, our products are traditionally focused more on the budget conscious consumer, especially at Mode Mobile. But the things that we're moving towards in this industry are targeted to all types of backgrounds and users. And I think that just getting that initial exposure is kind of the one thing that I would, you know, advise anyone to do. And even if it's like 0.1% of your net worth, don't sleep on it, right? It's going to be a massive movement and it's very exciting. And, you know, listening to things like this, I think will definitely move forward for a lot of the people listening.
Yeah, I agree. And I hope all of you listening have been enjoying the NFT series. I'll just tell you, I had to really dive in and learn a lot of this myself. And before we go in and do a series, it's what you think you know about crypto and NFT is probably far different than what you should know or could know. I mean, I did a whole lot of stuff, man. I bought and sold NFTs and I've minted them at this point. And, you know, I mean, I've learned the difference between all the different kinds, you know, and what they do and how they do it. It's not just buying and selling JPEGs, which is honestly what too many of you think is what NFTs are.
That's the future of this internet is community and creators. And that's what people are buying when they buy a Bored Ape is essentially the acceptance of that community, right? It's a limited thing. And we see that happening in society. You know, think of country clubs, people, memberships like Soho House, et cetera. Like people want those things. And that's what essentially people are getting when they buy that Bored Ape. And it's a movement, right? And a movement that resonates with them. So I think
And that's the key point here is you know, there are just so many people that, well, yeah, I'm old at this point. I turned 47 this year. So I remember people talking about when the internet was going to be a fad, or, and I'm even so old that I'm old enough to remember when the personal computer was going to be a fad.
Yeah.
And yeah, I even had floppy disks at one point, Dan. That's how freaking old I'm getting, bro. And now we're going to have a whole nother episode to talk me down. But no, I'm just kidding. I mean, well,
you're diving in. You know what?
I'm experienced. Well, maybe not as experienced with this stuff as I need to be. Now, like, I look at this stuff and it's like, hey, if you're interested in entrepreneurship, technology, like change, all of it, this is a great thing to dive into. Like, for, you know, whether it's for you or whether it's not. And I do agree with the diversification thing. Like, you know, I know a lot of people that have made a lot of money on a lot of this stuff. And it's the funny thing is, it's a lot of them are actually kind of the people that I, on many levels, thought would never make any money. And now I'm realizing that they're a hell of a lot smarter than most of us. So I'm going to maybe go do a little tears and beers and cry about that. Cause I was talking to a buddy of mine who, by the way, owns a very large slice of mutant apes. And he called me up a while ago and he said, so of all the things we've talked about over the last 15 years that we thought would get rich, did you ever think pictures of apes would be on my list?
Yeah.
I said, no, dude, that was about 500,000th on the list, but you know, it is what it is. So, well, Dan, thanks for joining me, man. I'm going to check in. I'm going to give all of your sites and all of your stuff a really hard look. I really appreciate you clarifying so much of this and teaching me about so much more. And hopefully everyone else listening learned a bunch too. So check it out.
Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it, man.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time.